Hi, we're here with Bruce Monrad, Chairman and Portfolio Manager of Northeast Investors Trust, ticker symbol NTHEX. Bruce is celebrating his 30th anniversary at the helm of Northeast Investors Trust, which makes him one of the most experienced and longest tenured fund managers in the business. So Bruce, throughout the year, we've been talking about all the geopolitical and economic risks facing the markets and the economy. Recently, it seems that many of those risks have kind of reared their ugly heads all at once again. Let's talk about which risks you think are real and which aren't. Let's start with the real head scratcher here, which are negative interest rates. Amazingly, around $15 trillion of global debt is now sporting negative interest rates, where investors are essentially paying to park their cash. Now, many market watchers are saying that negative rates could be headed to the U.S. Do you think that's possible?
You know, while it's a favorable environment, certainly these low yields for high yield, we don't go so far as to think that there will be negative interest rates in the U.S. That's a long ways away and would require, you know, multiple rounds of easing by the Federal Reserve. So we think that's a ways away. But again, we do still think that it's a favorable environment for credit.
Now, even if negative rates may not come to our shores, globally, there are even such things as negative yielding high yield bonds, which seems like a real oxymoron. Can you explain how negative rates even have surfaced in the high yield space? And would you ever consider investing in a negative yielding high yield bond?
Well, we certainly hope for higher interest rates on the securities that we're buying. But the interesting phenomenon is that with interest rates low or even negative, high-yield companies that are priced off of those interest rates, they're finding it extremely easy to cover, that is to say, pay their interest burden. So it's a fascinating a thought experiment to think of a company with a lot of debt, but yet has no trouble paying its very, very ultra-low interest bill each year.
Bruce, that's really fascinating. Now, let's turn to a new geopolitical risk, one that we've not necessarily touched on before, but that's front and center in the news, and that's impeachment, Congress's impeachment inquiry of the president. From the standpoint of the markets, is this a real issue or a non-issue?
No, I do think it matters.
Now, with regard to the likelihood of impeachment, even if the House were to impeach the president, which is a big if, there's really no expectation that the GOP-controlled Senate would actually vote to convict. So in light of this, do investors really even need to take impeachment into account when they're thinking about how to go about investing money for the rest of the year?
Well, it is very relevant because markets typically do not like uncertainty. However, you know, in this case, it might be that markets would do fairly well given the uncertainty of impeachment. And the reason I would say that is that the president might find himself under pressure to cut a deal with China, to engage in fewer conflicts with allies and adversaries alike. So, you know, we could wake up at some point in 2020, you know, and then remember, of course, that's also an election year, so that's out in the horizon, in which some of these geopolitical events might go away because there's the underlying backdrop of impeachment.
Bruce, you bring up an interesting point about the impending election, because that's also being thrown into the mix, right? Within a few months, we'll be well underway into primary season with the Democrats. And then in addition to whatever discussion we have about impeachment, we're also going to be talking about the presidential politics. And I wonder if that in and of itself could lead to greater volatility, greater anxiety among investors in this market.
Well, that's right. And the election, the election probably would cut favorably, in my view, for financial markets, particularly with regard to these geopolitical issues. That is to say, the president has it in his power to snap his fingers and cut a deal with China overnight, you know, whether it's a good deal or a bad deal. He can snap his fingers and cut a deal with North Korea and make that issue go away. So, you know, when you start adding these things up, it's really, I think, biased towards the positive. That is to say, we could go back to a fairly calm period, and I think that would be unambiguously positive for financial markets.
That's a really contrarian idea, and it certainly does make sense. Does that contrarian thought about perhaps the unexpected positive outcomes, does that also apply across the pond? Right now in England, we're dealing with Brexit, and we've talked about Brexit before and some of the concerns that brings up. The way Brexit is unfolding under Boris Johnson's premiership, are there concerns that we could see spillover effects into the financial markets there?
Our base case with regard to Brexit is that it's very hard to predict, of course, and that if it were hard Brexit, so-called hard Brexit, that there would be an instantaneous sell-off of some amount in the financial markets, even though the UK is not, you know, the hugest economy in the world. But having said that, we think it might go a little better than people think. This is in the event of hard Brexit. And so it might blow over compared to worst case predictions.
Now, speaking of worst case predictions, what do you think might be a worse outcome for the markets in the near term? Do you think another postponement where this thing drags on and uncertainty reigns for several more months, or possibly that hard Brexit that you referenced, but one that comes on October 31st?
You know, I think the uncertainty is probably the worst case, kicking the can down the road. Again, it is a little ambiguous as to what the outcome of hard Brexit would be. But certainly there are those who are proponents of Brexit who think that it will not be the world's biggest deal. And so I think I would agree that moving on will probably be the best thing for financial markets compared to kicking the can down the road.
Finally, let's turn to the trade war. You know, there have been growing fears that the trade war with China is starting to have tangible negative impacts on the economy. FactSet put out some interesting data recently showing that those S&P 500 companies that generate a majority of their revenues in the U.S. domestically enjoyed average profit growth of about 5% in the second quarter, and those companies that make a majority of their sales abroad have seen profits shrink by more than 11% in the second quarter. Is this a telltale sign? Should we be worried that the trade war is starting to have real impacts on the economy itself?
Yeah, with regard to the trade war, you know, we're obviously well beyond the first inning of it. And while certain industries, certain companies have been impacted, and we would expect that to continue, the economy is still in a pretty good place. And we extrapolate that to the broader economy going forward. So, you know, we don't think it will be cataclysmic at this moment. And we're relatively optimistic. And we've got our portfolio structured in support of sort of all these theories. We are relatively constructive on the economy, and yet it's also a pretty good period, we think, for credit and for fixed income securities. So that's how we're looking at things, and that's how we've got the portfolio set up at this point.
Well, thanks for sharing your thoughts, Bruce. That was Bruce Monrad, Chairman of Northeast Investors Trust, ticker symbol NTHEX.